who's going to lead, who's part of a special afternoon on memoir writing at the Columbia County Historical Society this weekend. And a talk at 2 p.m. followed by a reception, followed by a memoir writing workshop. Marianne, welcome.
Hi, thank you. And I love those two songs, so those were perfect.
I'm here with Ellen Thurston.
Hi, Marianne.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thank you. We're looking forward to this weekend and your talk and your class.
I'm really looking forward to it, too. I call this thing that I do Memoirama because we get to do everything that you need to know about memoir. And people seem to really enjoy that these days. I think we've kind of all been given permission to talk about ourselves and our families and our histories, and it's a good time for writing.
Now, do people do this with the intent of publishing these things, these memoirs?
Some people do, and, you know, the thing that I try to really explain right up front to people is that memoir is a genre, so you might have in mind a big book that begins with your great-great-grandfather and ends with what you had for lunch today, but you might also like to think about memoir as a short essay or an op-ed piece or one of those fabulous radio essays that you hear a lot. You can do a piece, since we're going to be talking about the Historical Society, or we're honoring the Historical Society with this event, you could do something about your house. I recently, for instance, found out that my house was a speakeasy during Prohibition. That is going to be a bang-up story one of these days when I get the research finished at my local Historical Society. So there's lots of ways to go with memoir.
Well, it's interesting. The name of your recent book is The Memoir Project, a thoroughly non-standardized text on writing and life.
Yeah.
And what is the non-standardized text?
Well, the book is a bit irreverent because I think memoir got a lot of black eyes recently. Either readers were led to believe that you had to have a fairly over-the-top life to write one, which is not true. Or people were writing memoirs that were just plain, flat-out lies. So this is not a standard text where I give you writing prompts and writing exercises. In fact, I never give writing prompts or exercises. I get your writing from the first day. So that's the non-standardized part. And the writing and life. Life and writing have a lot in common. They both, you succeed in both when you make good choices about what to emphasize. And so I had to put that and life part there. There's a little bit of life advice in this book as well.
How long have you been involved with this form, the memoir?
Well, I started working right out of college at the New York Times in 1977, and it never occurred to me, because I had planned to be a print journalist, never occurred to me that I might write memoir. But in 1983, I published a piece in the New York Times Magazine that was the first-person account of Alzheimer's disease. It seems impossible, but no one had heard of the disease at that time, or very few. And the person I wrote about was my mother, who was 49 at the time that she got sick. So I started writing about her. I then wrote a book about that experience, my family's struggle with Alzheimer's, and have co-written a bunch of other books and a lot of other magazine pieces with her at the center. So I've really been at it since 1983, although at the time I don't think I would have said I was writing memoir. I think I would have said I was writing science journalism, but there was an awful lot of memoir in it. And I've subsequently published three other books, all of which have a very high amount of memoir in them.
Memoir being the personal element, is that right?
Yes, the personal element. They're not, I think a lot of people think that memoir is about me. Memoir is about you. Memoir, but not really. Memoir is about something, and you are the illustration. And so looked at that way, people can have many memoir in them. I know people that have written 6 and 7 memoir, and it's not just reading me your date book, but it's really illuminating me about something in your life, whether, as I said, it could be your house, it could be your neighborhood, it could be the way you raise your kids, it could be your relationship with your dog, it could be anything. And I think we help each other when we illuminate those great themes of life.
I think a lot of people think of it as a story about your family or your growing up. And one thing I have often wondered about is whether people can actually write about their family while their family is still with us in this world.
That's a great question.
And I know a writing teacher I had at the New School at one point said he could never write about his father until his father had died. And that really stuck with me. I don't know whether I could have written about my parents while they were still alive, but what's your experience with that?
My experience is that it's the single greatest obstacle to writing. The good news is if people are dead, then you can go wherever you want to go because you can't libel the dead. And I don't mean to sound so flippant, but it is a real sort of liberation for people to realize that you can't actually be sued or nothing can really happen to you. But the truth is the best defense. And writing the truth is really what I'm going to talk a lot about in Chatham. We're going to not technically be in Chatham, but at the Columbia County Historical Society, and I think that the truth really is one of the greatest topics in the world. Because whose truth? I mean, if you have a sister, she still says that your greatest moment in life never happened. She still says it didn't happen that way.
So your sister's like my sister.
Are we related? And that is a great place to write from. Not the mudslinging of, I say it's this way, and I say if you don't believe it, I say the highway to you. But that curious other side of everything is a terrific subject. So when I encourage people to write about their families, I encourage them to write not to get revenge or to set the record straight, but to explore those fabulous dualities that we have whenever we live with other people, or a dog, or work in an office. It's a great liberating way to look at memoir. And more fun, I think.
Now, anyone can come and take this workshop, I guess.
Yes. I'm hoping that everybody will really consider it. It's a great winter thing to do. And nobody should be nervous about it. I know that sometimes people come in, they sit at the back of the room. I do this a lot, and I always say, come on up here. It's going to be fine. But yes, it's open to everyone.
And do people share their work during the workshop?
They're certainly welcome to pitch their work to me and tell me and ask me questions about their difficulties. If they want to bring something to read, you know, keep it pretty short because we might expect a lot of people. I'm open to pretty much every kind of sharing. Mostly what I have is people have these great big stories and they need some help with the structure. Or, as Ellen just mentioned, they're wrestling with the thought of what to do about that old thing, the truth. And we have great discussions about that. Or they've got a really gnarly problem. They've got a research problem. So there's all aspects of memoir. From writing about your family, as I said, to your house, to wondering where to start, to finding out how to do research. I mean, the Columbia County Historical Society is one of my favorite places, and I know what tremendous asset they are to the community. And I really encourage people to think of the historical societies as a great place to go to find about your house, your neighborhood, or even some long-standing issue that interests you, whether it be water or land or conservancy. There are wonderful archives available in the historical societies for your background use. And memoir does require some research.
I think the comforting thing about memoir is that, first of all, I think everybody has a story to tell, whether they think they do or not.
I agree.
And isn't it comforting when you think, oh, my family is crazy, to find out that everybody else's family is crazy, too? You know, when you start trading stories.
Absolutely. What can be more wonderful than to find out that something you long thought was yours alone is actually universal? Mm. Or to find out that the dilemma you had with your dying mother was something that's not yours alone, but is actually a dilemma that someone else had, and this is how they dealt with it. And maybe the way you dealt with it was a little different, but to share this, I mean, we are so isolated if we don't share our stories. And I think memoir not only allows that, but it's also the greatest method for human exploration. I don't know how I feel about anything until I write about it. And so to really find out how I feel about something, even my greatest love, it's, you know, most of us communicate, we say things like, oh, I really love my husband. But what does that tell anybody? But if you really sit down and try to figure out why, and try to show somebody else something that that person did for you or with you or what they thought about you or how they considered you. That's a great exploration, and everybody I know that writes memoir in my classes benefits from that.
That's wonderful. I want to give some some information for people about this talk this weekend. It's on Saturday. It's part of the Distinguished Authors Series, and it is a benefit for the Columbia County Historical Society, and there is the talk, and then a reception, and then the workshop, and there are the talk is free. There are charges for the other two events that day. Reservations are at www.cchsny.org or call 758-9265. The talk is at 2 o'clock, followed by the reception, and then the I think it's a two-hour workshop at 4:30. And it's at the McNary Center on Sylvester Street in Kinderhook.
Is there anything else you'd like to say, Marianne, before we leave?
Well, thank you. First of all, it's been a joy to talk with you, and I hope that I'll get to see you, many of you, on Saturday, and I'm looking forward to hearing your stories, because Ellen is right. Everybody has a story to tell. So thanks.
Thank you. Thank you very much.